Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Direction for Truth show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Richard. It is so beautiful here. It is snowing, that thick, dense snow. We got about 4 inches, and the flakes are about as big as the bottom of a teacup.
Wow.
They're incredibly beautiful. So we couldn't get to work till noon today, but everybody's kind of laid back and loving it, and that's what we're going to talk about today, loving the truth about it. Have you ever had a relationship in which somebody said to you, oh, I got that on sale, or it was only $10 when it was $20, or do people ever fib to you in your relationships and all of your experience, lots of experience, since you are sort of on the old side, Richard. I'm a lot older than you are, but if we look at 1 to 20, 20 to 40, 40 to 60, 60 to 80, we're in that last group.
Yeah, I'm in the last group. Yep. Yes, I have. In answer to that, yes, I've had relationships where people have lied to me.
And how does it make you feel?
I'll politely say angry.
Okay.
There are stronger words. I don't like being lied to. I don't mind being fibbed to or little white lies. It's not that. It's just like big lies, bad.
I think people lie to you because they expect that you won't like the truth. But here's something that I think is very true, maybe just my opinion, that if you love somebody, really love them, you'll tell them the truth no matter what, because you want them to make decisions based on the truth of the situation. And if you lie to them and tell them things that are not true to make yourself look bigger, better, happier, then you're really in love with them loving you, and you're making this pretend person to keep them loving you. So when you're lying, you're not secure in your relationship. I believe, and this is a lot of my beliefs this today, in this direction for truth, is that sharing your authentic self is the ultimate gift to the one you love.
I like that as a theory. I like that as a theory very much. But let's do our, who we're brought by and all that, and then we'll get back to that. But I like that as a working theory. Let's go with that.
Okay, you want to make all the announcements?
Sure. We're simulcast for people who are either listening over at Blog Talk Radio or on either side, either at Blog Talk Radio listening or at WebEx listening and seeing what Sherry is showing us. You can go to soundhealthoptions.com, click on the radio tab, and then for today, you'd click on the Direction for Truth, and there on the right-hand side will be a link which will take you to the Blog Talk Radio page where you can listen there. And if you sign in, it's a free account, you can sign in and you can join the chat, and or you can listen over at Blog Talk Radio if you just want to listen at 347-850-1407. And I really like the audio quality at Blog Talk Radio, so what I tend to do is listen by that number and then watch the WebEx chat, and on that same page at Sound Health Options at Radio and then Direction for Truth, down there is a link to join the WebEx, which is a video feed with chat of its own that Sherry is running and showing us things, and as she pulls, like today she'll pull vocal profiles, we'll see the prints being pulled so you can see what it looks like as she goes through the process.
One of the things we've been doing, too, with the video is going over to Blog Talk Radio and posting the video, like we've got the video posted here of our guest for last Sunday, Sherry Peel Jackson, that wonderful IRS, a whistleblower. If any of you want to listen to it, you can go over to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, go to radio, Blog Talk Radio, and then down on the right-hand side, you can click and listen to archived shows. But also there are episode descriptions over at Blog Talk Radio, and what I've done is posted the video that we did. That's just an added feature that we're just doing. We're sponsored today by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health. We're located in Ohio, the largest alternative health organization that we know of here in Ohio. And what we do is try to bring you ideas and information that will help you have a more enlightened life. That's kind of selfish on our part, because we think things that you want to think about and hear, and we want to bring them to you. So today, we're going to bring you things about relationships. Richard, when you were younger, did you pine for relationship? Did you actively look for a relationship? Did they just find you?
No, and more no. No pining. In much of my high school career and even pre and junior high, I did a lot of photography, and so I was the classic, you know, kid with a camera, always taking pictures, always sort of behind the scenes. Everybody knew me, all of that, but that was my, people would even describe me, I think back then, as being slightly Asperger-y, which is hard to imagine when you hear me blathering away on air. But I had that kind of, you know, just a little odd, but, you know, taking pictures was my way that I communicated with the world.
As long as you can stay behind the camera or behind the scenes, you're perfectly okay?
Absolutely comfortable as can be. Still today.
Okay, we have a couple of announcements, and then we'll dig deeper into your comfort or uncomfort zone about things. Right before the show, we were looking at each other's vocal prints. Because that's what we're going to do, run Compatibility Compass, which is a computer program that we're just releasing. And the Compatibility Compass helps point you on the way to your relationships. And I think, and this is my opinion, and you can join in here, Richard, in my relationship, what killed them is that people weren't honest with each other. And when I began looking at what makes someone be honest or dishonest or their authentic self, it's because sometimes they don't know what their authentic self is. But other people around you do. Let's start with everybody. Two words. Everybody has a sound. And that sound is a manifestation of all of the frequencies running along your neural pathways and of your brain. And a representation of that sound comes out your ears, and it's called an otoacoustic emission. And everybody hears it. They may not hear it consciously, but they pick up on it. Somehow we've lost that trait to be able to quiet ourselves and listen to what the other person is trying to say to us in silence. So when your words say, "I didn't do it," but your brain and your body knows you did, and you're sending out that signal, "Yes, I'm very guilty," people begin not to believe in their own perception. Everybody has a sound. everybody can hear it. Therefore, privacy is an illusion. And the only thing you do when you lie with your words is cause the people around you to be confused because your words don't match your actions. And they feel discontent. They feel unconnected. They don't know what's wrong. People won't bring it out. You don't want people to know all the bad stuff you did, the dumb stuff you did when you were a kid, the stuff you got caught doing, the embarrassing things. So truth is there if people want to listen. Privacy is an illusion. So we're going to offer you the opportunity to start practicing what's real in your intimate relationships. That's what this program is built on. And we have another one that is built on your relationship with other people, the leading edge, and we'll be introducing that. Richard, have you always practiced truth in your intimate relationship?
I think so. At the time that I was expressing myself, I believed I was speaking my truth. I've never intentionally lied. Now, whoa.
There goes that sound. I was trying to put up your voice here.
The gong show, it begins. How perfect. And are you trying to pick it up, or should I keep talking?
Just keep talking.
Okay. So, no, I believe at the time that I was always speaking my truth. I never lied. I didn't cheat. I didn't do any of that kind of stuff. But I think because of my own, as we were talking at the first part of the show, I was really much more of a photographer, so I'd always been an observer and not as much of a participant. And I think that some of my exes, I have a pile of about three exes, primary exes, 10-year relationships mostly. And at some point, I think my inability to communicate on a level that they wanted because of however I perceived or however I thought I was expressing myself wasn't enough for them. And I'm a working fool. That also adds to the mix, is that I work is my primary thing and everything else is secondary. When I was in the restaurant business, I worked, 14-hour days most weeks. Most days, probably 6 days a week mostly. And that was that part of my life. And when I was a photographer, filmmaker, and did all that, that was my driving force, is I would have a camera and I would be going around taking pictures, not endlessly, but I mean, that was my, I would be like a dog. If I smelled something, but meaning a picture, I would go chasing that off and lose track of time until I got the photograph I wanted.
At what age, if ever, do you really feel that you knew yourself well enough to represent yourself to another person in a meaningful way?
Perhaps next year.
Next year.
I don't know. That's a work in progress in a certain way because I don't have a knowingness in my mind that I still don't do that. Even though I'm a blathering fool on a microphone, I'm rather shy by nature. And the guy that's sort of in the, back in the corner and, somewhat shy, pretty shy. So on mic, I'm very bold.
One of the things I like about you, Richard, is that you have this laid-back attitude, and if something bubbles to the surface that's going to be an issue, you still don't react and scream and yell and whatever. You say, okay, let's look at that. Let's deal with it. I think people need to know themselves or they're going to go into relationships and just repeat the same mistakes over and over again.
I agree with that completely, in that sort of my line about that is, you have your bags packed, and just because you leave one relationship, you take your bags with you. So you really have to get yourself clear before you move on to another relationship.
And I find in our world that there's so many oughts and shoulds and demands that we sometimes lose ourselves. So in looking at Richard's printout here, we can see a lot of red. He was talking about relationships before the show. But his tallest number here is 114. For those of you just listening, we are looking at a nano voice type vocal print, and you can download nano voice for free from soundhealthoptions.com under downloads. But this is has a different kind of a printout, but the same thing apply, that red is reactive and yellow is thinking. So Richard is kind of a tough combination here of reactive intellect. And his highest note is A sharp, which is spirituality. So he likes somebody to be spontaneous, but to always have in mind some place what are the moral constructs of the universe that says, let's do this for the betterment of mankind. The second one of his is a note of B, where he can be a martyr for a cause. The third one of his is G sharp. Excuse me. So he's kind of particular about his space, but he'll give and take, but he really likes his space his own way. He knows where things are organized, and he doesn't need somebody coming in and organizing everything. So this is a really easy program to use. Seven little clicks of a button here, and we're going to be doing this for other people. If someone wants to volunteer, they can raise their hand now. Or I will just go in and choose somebody if their microphone is working. So what this says about Richard, and this is a very short one. He didn't have a whole lot to say, but that's Richard. You think that expanding the mind is just as important as exploring the body. So you're in an intimate relationship with somebody, and maybe you're being very physical. Do you want to know what they're thinking, or could you have a mind-blowing conversation with them within that, and would you make the body reaction secondary?
Hmm.
Hello?
I'm thinking about that. I think that the people that I have been in relationship with, or that I have been attracted to, have been based on the first sentence about
the mind
and the communication. It's not like I'm a pickup artist. I'm not, 6'2". I'm short. I'm slightly wide, although pretty wide, and okay looking. So it's not like I'm, going to walk into a bar and pick up chicks. Well, I'm not going to walk into a bar anyway and pick up chicks. But I mean, in terms of, it's the conversation that stimulates me and then stimulates that other person. So really it is that conversation and the relating part. I don't mean the, all intimate and all that, but I mean in terms of, I like having rapport, conversational rapport with the person that I'm with.
Do you think that you need a relationship? Are you always on the lookout for a relationship? Do you let them come
to
you?
They've always come to me. They've always come to me, and I'm not on the lookout.
Okay, so you just sort of let things ooze and happen. I think this happens to people who are enlightened and aware, because this sound coming from our ears, maybe you love the note of E and William Tell Overture and the color yellow, and that sound maybe coming out of your ears is A sharp and violet, and the other is its matching note, six notes away, its exact opposite, like red and green are opposites by color. So saying that in music is C is the opposite of F sharp. And people are attracted or repelled by the sound coming from you, and most loudly from your ears. So that's an awesome way to let it happen. I've seen so many people that want to be in a relationship, so they settle for less than what they want or need, or even totally overhear from what they want. And it just is a mess. Divorce rate's more than 50% now. The computer says...
Let me toss in one thing there, that the one thing... I've had a few other relationships, but the primary ones, when I started working with you, I did have the aha that one of the things that they all had me with was I liked their voices. I liked the sound of their voice. And I wasn't conscious of that until I started doing shows with you. Then I went, oh, my God, I liked, you know, so-and-so's voice. And, oh, my God, her voice was great, too. And that voice and that one was sort of like, I didn't like her voice so much. That didn't last so long. But the women that I was with for 10 years all had voices that I liked very much.
Well, your voice is an A-sharp and E combination. So a purple and a yellow, a spiritual talker, is what that comes out to be.
Mm.
My note is for my voice, it's a D-sharp, and that's dopamine. And that's the satiation, gratification kind of frequency. So people may not like what I say, but they like listening to my voice. And I can get my voice to be a little whiny and stick in some F there, you know, if we want to get on a soapbox. But let's look at what else the computer said about you. And we have a volunteer. A brave soul that's going to let us know about them. You are aware of how painful thoughtless words can be, but you often bury your own pain and grief to spare others. Do you do that, Richard? I think you do.
Yeah. Yes. I feel like I'm in therapy. Should I be laying down on a couch when we do this? That's how I feel.
That goes... two ways here. One, you may let a partner run over you and bury your own stuff, but you may want to spare them what you're going through at the same time. So you're more of a giving partner than a taking one.
Yes.
You appreciate others and tend to care more about those who recognize your ability to be of service. So appreciation is important to you. Sometimes there is a conflict between your inner ideals and what you want others to think of you. That may be why you hide behind your microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people would judge you if you were on TV more than when you're on radio?
Possibly. I don't know that much. I think part of it... this may be an observation or it's just a rationale, I'm not sure which. I work with some people that when I see them at events and they have throngs of people who want to come over and talk to them because they're keynote speakers and they're speaking to audiences of, you know, 5,000, and they have a certain kind of celebrity, and that's of no interest to me. I like walking through a crowd and having people not know who I am. I don't mean in a hiding way. I just mean in a way of, like, I like keeping my whatever that is. So when they hear my voice, though, at some of those same events, they'll go, oh, I know you. You're Talk to Me guy. You know, they'll know me from that. But until they hear my voice, they don't know who I am, and I like that.
We have an audience member that says Richard's voice has a rhythm to it, very easy to listen to. So people like your voice. The other person that was totally in love with your voice was Ray Ellen from, I can't remember her show we were on, but she loves your voice.
Oh, yeah. I remember the show. I can remember the show as well, but I can't remember what it was called.
That's really weird. We'll think of it. How about this one? You can be tactless and not even realize that you have insulted someone. Do you do that?
I don't know. That's hard to imagine. I think when I want to insult somebody, I do it directly. I don't think there's any, you know, I know when I'm being tactless.
Well, I flagged on you doing something in the kitchen with this. of barking.
That is an area where people, my personality doesn't change when I was, for those who don't know, I was a chef for almost 20 years. And in the kitchen, I'm more commanding, but my voice is not much different until you really piss me off. And then I'm usually speaking Spanish because I'm usually working with people from, you know, Hispanic countries. And I'll get angry, and they know that. But I don't slash at people. I'm not much on, you know, talking down to people. But I'll lay into them.
This next sentence goes with that one. You can be tactless and not even realize that you have insulted someone, but you were just attempting to be helpful.
Yeah, I think with age, I've probably changed the angle on that.
Here is something that I know to be totally true of you. You can put all the pieces together quickly, even before your partner knows where the relationship is headed.
Mm. Yep.
I've seen you do that with shows. You know, you got 30 seconds and you got 2 hours work to do. I've seen it.
Yeah. Yes. That's true.
You want to serve the needs of others but are caught by your instincts to please yourself. I don't quite understand that one, even though I wrote the program.
Yeah. I don't quite understand that.
I would think this would mean you won't let other people abuse you. When you serve them and they expect it, then sometimes you just turn the other direction.
That is true. I did actually, that's perfect, because I did actually have that recently with someone, a friend, and I did some things for her and did not receive like a sort of a glowing thanks because I saved her bacon. And it annoyed me, but then I blew it off immediately. I don't hold on to that. I don't have a grudge about it. I just was like, really? Well, next time, that's going to take longer for me to do that. That's that kind of thing.
Service to community and humanity is an important trial trait for your ideal partner to hold. And we know that when you bring all of this environmental stuff to our attention and how you love Mother Earth.
Yes.
That's neat.
Yep.
Your feelings. Go ahead.
No. That's all. I was just saying yes.
Oh, your feelings and desire to help others is a very satisfying part of your relationship. So whoever you're with will have to share you.
Yeah. That could have been stressful in the past. That's true.
You like to have a hand in what is going to happen next. You can be absolutely central without being obvious. That's a sweet thing.
Yeah, that can be. I'm laughing because this weekend I'm going to get together with some friends and do cooking, which means that they stand around me and watch me and I tell them what to do. So that's, but it's very casual. It's always easygoing. It's just that I, you know, like, okay, now you do this, you do that, because I have the big picture on when we're making food, what needs to be done. And I know all the players, so I know how they have to do it. So there won't ever be any barking, but it'll definitely be me in the center telling, you know, controlling the flow of how everything gets done. And I like that. I'm comfortable with that, in that arena particularly.
When it's your story, you want to be in control. We have Marcy who has said, two things, and I just went by one of them. I wonder how we match up with liking voices for any kind, not just for potential dates. And then she goes on to say something tremendously important. I try to treat a person good. If a person threatens me or they try to tell me what to do, they do not know me. I get a little put out and do my best to get them away from me. You know, this is power tripping, which a lot of people do in their relationships. And Richard, if I have no apples, will you come to me for an apple?
No. Why would I?
Because I have none. So a lot of people out there that have no power, but they recognize that you have power, and they come to you to strip your power. They come to take your apples because they don't have any. And when people are coming to you and being mean to you and saying mean things, that's a public acknowledgement that they have no power of their own and they need yours. When this happens, you just hand it back to them. And I use this story a lot. Maybe some of you have, probably many of you have heard it. I was doing a class in Sedona, Arizona, beautiful place. And I was up on a little stage, 2.5-3 feet high. And after the speech, the sharing, I don't like to call them speeches, a man came up to me, and he was about 5 feet tall, which made him come up to about my knees while I was on this little stage. He was bald-headed. I could plainly see that. And he had this long, stringy, curly hair down his back. And he had a face full of reddish, sort of bushy beard. And he looked like a little troll. And he came up to me and he said, "I just want to tell you that you're too ugly to be on stage." And I thought, why is he providing me with this information? I know what I look like. It's not my looks. There's something else going on here. So when he said that to me, it was kind of insulting in one way, but it was kind of gratifying in other way because he was giving me a power position. Now, I could have said to him, "Well, you're no Robert Redford either," you know, because he did look like a troll. But I said, I handed it back to him. And I said, "Well, what do you think I could do about it? He's got the problem with me. He's got to help me solve it." He said, "Nothing. You look like my mother, and I hate her too." So whose problem was it? It was his problem, his issue, I should say. And when people come to you with, "You didn't do this right," and, you know, my husband and I have been together a lot of years, and one of his aggravations about me is that I opened the shower curtain from the wrong end. You know, and it's like, what's the difference? He just wants, it's just a power play. And I'll tell you one of the ways that I solved some of that. We had 3 kids in school and 2 of them in high school doing civics projects, social kind of thing, and they had to read the newspaper. And they had to cut out articles and take them to school the next morning. Oh, my husband played on a lot of ball teams, and he didn't get home till midnight, way past when the girls were going to be going to bed. And our driveway and the mailbox was about 1/4 mile down the lane. So these kids would go get the newspaper and read it and sort of try to juggle what was going on, then put the newspaper back together and walk it back out to the mailbox because he didn't want anybody touching that newspaper because he wanted to read a virgin newspaper. That's what he said to us. So we argued about this for a couple of weeks until, aha, this newspaper is $1.50 a week. I could have peace in my household if I would buy 2 newspapers. And once I bought the 2nd newspaper, then he said, "Well, I guess it wouldn't matter if they read the paper first." It was just a power play to control.
Yeah.
You find ways around that, and they lose their control. But you have to learn to talk to them at the same time. Another one about my husband, he'd come to the table on the days I made salmon patties for the kids because they love him. And I always made him another meal. In this particular time, I made him fried chicken, all homemade. He'd come to the table, and it's like, "What are these salmon patties doing on this table?" And I said, "Well, you talk like you're the only one that eats here or has meals here." And it gently put him in his place and said, "Remember, there's more of us here." And that was my way of standing up for myself and not being demeaned or depowered by that other person. And I think with this little computer program that we're going to offer to people, that if you find who you are and your foundation, and you can stand strong on that rock solid who you are. There was this movie out called The Secret that said you can have whatever you want. But people got into so much trouble because they really couldn't tell what they really wanted. They They thought they needed to like that or they needed to have that, but that wasn't what they really needed. So this little program helps you find who you are and to stand strong with it. And it may be things that you already know, but you sort of bring them out. And when I did mine, and I'll bring it up and we could look at it a minute. When I did mine, there was things in mine that I hadn't told my husband of 40-some years. One of them, let's see if I can spell compatibility, P-T-I-B-I-L-I-T-Y. And this one I have up on the internet. We'll go over it quickly, but if you want to read it, because I thought it was so fascinating. And what I'm going to show you right now is a little bit of bundling. I'm going to make this a little smaller. Enable editing, then I could do it. So you'll be doing these vocal prints for people, and you can send them right through the mail. They make great Valentine gifts. Sometimes you get carried away with doing things your way, and that's certainly been a bone of contention with us. Planning a sweet and sophisticated encounter will bring rewards if you leave room for outside influences. One of these we read just today, and I don't think it's in mine, but oh, here it is. Always sharing the how may turn off the wow. So just keep your mouth shut about what's going to happen and let it flow. So it gives you this information about how you are and how other people might perceive you. So once you have that solid foundation of knowing who you are, that gives you back your power to stand your ground. And when you can do that, you become an authentic person. And when you come from an authentic place, and sometimes we don't even know what authentic is, and I'll give you a great example. This is real, and it was from our newspaper here. There's a little town called MacArthur, Ohio, a little redneck town. And these two people were getting a divorce, and you know how courtrooms are. There's a side for each party and doors and two doors, and so people don't have to pass each other. So the judge had announced the divorce, and they were leaving the courtroom, and the husband on one side went toward the wife coming out of the other door and pumped 6 bullets in her face and then said to the policeman, if she ever comes to, tell her I love her.
Whoa.
There is certainly a distorted view of what loving somebody is. And this is my definition of love. If you love someone, you will tell them exactly the truth of what's going on every moment that pertains to them. Because you want them to make decisions based on the truth. You want to be loved for who you really are. And you want them to be free to love who you are and who they are. And if you lie and steal and cheat and you're not your authentic self and you create a fabrication for them to love, you don't love them. You love them loving you. And that is a fake relationship, an unreal one. And I believe that you can't keep together a bad relationship, no matter how you try. And you can't tear apart a good one, no matter how you try. So based on those things, let's look at some other people's vocal prints. Because I think the little nano voice told people about what's real for them. And now we have two programs, one called Compatibility Compass that sort of puts you on your way and where you're going, and another one called compatibility pathway that keeps your relationship tight and together. Marcy says, is there a book or website that helps us think through what a good match for our personality? Well, maybe we should put up a blog. That's a good question, Marcy. We do have a two-day class coming up on Thursday and Friday that we're going to explore this. I think tomorrow is the very last day to get in on it, too. Marcy says, I can see why if we look at their sounds, I could give some great insight. We have taken the Nano and done two voice prints at the time. Richard talking about his significant other and his significant other talking about him and seeing where they balance and match. And I don't remember what that was called. Do you, Richard?
I don't remember.
Yeah, but we compared the vocal prints to see what was lacking or what was overabundant. Yes, it's like balancing the energy fields. Just like I believe there's a couple kind of genetics. There's a physical genetics with DNA and all that, but I also believe there's something called electromagnetic genetics, because all of these frequencies running all over our body, they have a magnetic potential that makes them behave and go where they ought to go. And I think when we recognize somebody that has the light source, the electromagnetic potential, it looks like little blue flares if you're looking at electricity, and we humans have that also, and I think that there is a system of genetics so that when we meet somebody that has our like energy or an energy that we just absolutely love to be around, they balance us. I wrote an article about that. It's in my book, Making of a Soul. I'll post it someplace so people can have access to it. But I believe that we are attracted to what we are attracted to based on mathematics, just like polar opposites of electricity can't help be attracted. Magnets can't help be attracted. I think there are times when our energy is attracted to something, a person or a behavior, and society says, nope, can't do that. And then we get all screwed up from that, because that would have taken us to perfection. That would have balanced us. And if you're truly balanced, you'll spontaneously combust. And the fact that you're on the planet means that you're imperfect because you haven't spontaneously combusted yet. It's like two electricities coming together, and they sort of annihilate each other and go into another dimension. Boy, Marcy's very prolific in the chat. I wonder if you had the sounds he needed, would he have changed his feeling or comment? The sounds who needed, Marcy? Oh, you mean the little troll guy. He just wanted to tell me how he felt, and he didn't think anybody else would listen to him, and I think he thought that I would take into consideration who he really was. I was very honored when I thought about it that he would trust me with that. Ron,
that is a tricky thing in the arena of when you do start people, because I do so much talking on mic or on the phone working with clients, or sometimes in other kinds of, you know, formats where people are talking, where there are times when people feel, just like you were talking, Sherry, they feel so safe with you that they would share something that other people would, because they feel safe or they know that they, on some level, they, whether it's audio acoustics that they're hearing, they know that they can say something to you that they wouldn't be able to say to someone else, that when you become sort of in the public eye, or the public ear in my case, that people tell you things. They develop a rapport with hearing you, and they think that you're, however we perceive that. I don't know, I always go back to nature, and I'm always curious, like, what would wolves do? How would they handle that? You know, would there be yelping and biting involved, or would they just go, oh, you, I know you. So it's a thing that happens.
Absolutely, and the attraction is there. And if you happen to be married and have five kids and something walks in you're very attracted to, society says you're not allowed to even go near. You're not allowed to be a friend. You're not allowed to love somebody because they get all confused with making love and being loved and loving. Our society is a little screwed up. Marcy says something in the chat, says it's not just one's voice, but the energy you have in your biofield, the good and the bad, so that can set a person off. It's energy, energy. Energy is frequency. The deeper that's just, it's deeper than just speaking. You know, we've got Bruce Lipton and Lynn McTaggart out there talking about the biofield and the field and that it does exist. And here we sit with bioacoustics showing there's a field, but here's what the field represents. And just by trial and error, we've put these computer programs together for people. Marcy says, also based on what is in the outer energy field. Absolutely. And I don't think there's anything positive or negative in our life. I believe the idea that a positive or negative potential may have been turned into good and bad, but whatever balances you is perfect for your balance, and what gets in the way of that is society's perceptions of what's good or bad. And there's extremes. Jeffrey Dahmer, who liked to eat little kids, you know, he's got to stay away from me and he can't be in my world. And here's Mother Teresa on the end of that, that was a totally living and giving person. So we kind of make the rules of where we feel safe. And the way to allow other people to feel safe around you is to be accepting, unjudgmental. You know, when somebody lies to me, I'm not all up in their face about their lying. I'm up in my face about, why was I not trusting enough that they could tell me the truth? And so I try to approach it that way. And most people are just afraid of being judged. And they don't want to be judged because they really don't know who they are or what they are. And they sort of get knocked off kilter by what other people's expectations are. And I think I have great hopes for this little program. And the larger one, this one gives you four or five paragraphs, the other gives you four or five pages. I have high hopes that this will let people know who they are. Okay, we have, I don't know how to pronounce your name. Is it Naomi? Naima? I'm going to open your mic.
Naomi?
You're unmuted now. N-A-I-M-A.
Yes, that's me.
Okay, how do you pronounce your beautiful name?
It's Naima.
Naima.
Yes.
Beautiful. Okay, are you ready to be exposed on the air?
I guess so.
Okay, I'm going to hit this little microphone, and there'll be some numbers come up over here, and you just keep talking until 500 notes or 500 of the number 500 appears. Okay, is that a deal?
Okay.
Okay, start now. And just
let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Love is a wonderful thing. It's a many splendid thing. I love loving. I love living. I love being. The best days are ahead of us. The best days are within us. Wonderful, wonderful, fortunate all of you. How wonderful it is to be alive, awake, aware, and enthusiastic. This is the moment, this is the hour, and this is the now. Happy New Year to all of you.
Okay, we got to 500, and I think that she was talking about all of mankind, not really herself, but that's okay. We'll see what comes up. I'm going to roll over this and grab it, say Control C, because I want to keep this, and I'm going to go up to the little save this file and paste it in there and say we're going to save this in the file, and then I'm going to click this little monitor, and this is her report card. Uh-oh. You can be tactless and not even realize that you insulted somebody. Do you and Richard have something that's alike over here? Yeah, this Capricorn stuff. You both have a lot of A. But again, you're just trying to help. That's exactly the same thing that came out for Richard, the exact same sentence, only his was way down here. And he says, yes, absolutely, that's true. He just wants to be helpful. You can put all the pieces together quickly even before your partner knows what the relationship is heading for. You know, that was like Richard's too. Did both of you have A's and A-sharps? Let me see if I can go back and open that again and compare those.
I know that I have a lot of Capricorn.
That's a Capricorn trait.
Yep. None of my ruling planets, but I mean, it's all a bunch of Capricorn.
Let's open Richard's and see if you guys have... So you do, that A and A sharp, that's spirituality, and G sharp. Now, you guys would either get along great because you both have similar frequencies that come up, the G sharp, A and A sharp, but you might not agree on how you would approach something where Naima wants to approach it from an intellectual and feeling perspective. Richard wants to approach it from a spontaneous, reactive perspective. But it's still about spontaneity, and A&A sharp is about spirituality and management, not only of human things, but of spiritual things. So Naima has read a lot about it, thought about it, went over it, and Richard reacts from his gut level with all of this. So you've got some same kind of things here, but it's because the same notes are showing up. Let's look at the octaves they're in. And Naima's, most of hers is in the male octave, and some up here in naivete. But she has a very strong constitution. What she wants, she can push herself. This is the way it's going to be. And you look at Richard's, and his is coming from a gut level. Remember that the -3 is a gut level. -1 is male. -2 is female. I shouldn't say it that way. I should go look at the real frequencies here. A lot of this information is in our videos about nano voice. So -3 is gut, -2 is male, -1 is female. And look at this. Naomi has a little teeny 2 here in female. So that isn't an issue with her. 2 is like negligent, but it's her own female ego. Her real thing is spirituality. She has an 80 and even male. So she does a lot of direction and movement and helping people through some things that deal with spirituality. And she has some naive up here in 0 octave. Not very high. It's mostly pretty normal, 39, 40, but it does mean that in some ways she can be very open and very childlike. So they have these two sets of sentences that are the same. You need to see all aspects of your partner's motivations in order to manage your own actions. You desire to manage those around you and can cause resentment. Back off. That's that A and A sharp. I want it done my way. And I can see Richard not doing that in a relationship, but certainly on the job. I can see Richard really pushing because he's been there, he knows how to do it, and this is the way it's going to be done or he's going to walk away. And how Naomi would express that is she knows probably what's best for people. She doesn't like people hanging on her and taking. They must deal with their own stuff and take care of it and be responsible, or she's just going to back off and not help them. You think that expanding the mind is just as important as exploring the body. Richard had that, but not first. You are aware of how painful thoughts can be and often bury your own pain. That you had like him. But again, you had the notes that were alike. Now, when we look at somebody who has these notes alike, you may fight over who gets to be dominant. A perfect relationship would be you had exact opposites here. And the opposites of G sharp is D. The opposite of A is D sharp. You had some balance there with emotional information. You are really sensitive to other people's emotions, where Richard doesn't have that. But as we look at all of these, the perfect relationship would be the exact opposite, six notes away. In this case, there might be some tension and fighting, but it depends on what you want. Do you want a relationship that allow you to grow and will allow discussion and differences of opinion? This relationship would work. But if you want just comfort and leave me alone and or leave me to my own mind, not leave me alone, then this relationship probably wouldn't work because they're too much alike here. Whoops, I lost my Amy's printout. Is this hers? Yes. Usually down at the bottom is the more pertinent, the more current stuff. You let your partner take the lead because it's easier than arguing. Ooh, that's a Pisces trait. Did you have Pisces? Not much. Sometimes it's a Libra trait. You don't have that. I'm just going to say, it things that matter to you, you argue about, but you're very peaceful about things that you may not agree with, but it's just not important enough to argue with. You're generous with your time, affection, and property, but you don't like to be taken from on any level. You have the ability to seek guidance and answers from those you care about. Spiritually, in all of your relationships, spirituality in all your relationship is important to you, considering every side of an issue is easy for you, but you may not, but may not be for those around you. You will need to gently serve as a mediator. That should be a capital U there. Or maybe, I can't tell if that's a semicolon or not. You can be good counsel for others even when you are involved. You let the partner take the lead. Oh, I read that. Planning and actually doing needs more. I got the hiccups. Hold on one second. Okay, it's what I try to read too fast. I get the hiccups. Planning and actually doing needs more balance in your love life. Security through service and giving makes you an easy target for selfish partners. Once you provide for others without reservation, they often expect you to repeat the behavior with no reward. Any of that true?
Yes, it's wonderful. I'm impressed.
And we've never met. Is this your Is this your first time listening to the show?
Yes, my neighbor wanted me to hear, and the interesting thing is that I'm a colon hydrotherapist, so I'm very much in service and assisting people, and so you nailed me right on the head. So,
well, I will bundle this and send it on to you, and
okay.
You can learn to bundle from our tutorials. And I will put the tutorials up in chat so everybody can look at them. They're way down here. There's a whole album on everything that we did this evening with extra material for everyone. And if you will privately give me your email address on the chat, which is
okay.
on the lower right-hand side of your screen, then I will send this on to you. Or you can call the office tomorrow and give them the address, and they can send it to
We're
you.
We're doing it right now.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll grab
I deal with Philip, who has talked to you before, and he just thought that I should be meeting with you, and I'm really impressed, and it is a Valentine's Day gift. And I wouldn't mind having a love in my life, so it's been a long time, so perhaps you've given me a roadmap.
Well, I like that idea, a roadmap to the perfect partner. We're doing something slightly different with this. Okay, the best Valentine gift ever. This program is $187, and we are going to be selling it for $40 until Valentine's Day. And if you guys want to sell it and help us raise money, that's fine, well, and good and wonderful. But if you want to sell it and make a profit, we will share the price with you. So if you know people who want to know more about themselves, who they are, where they're coming from, what their foundation is, what their truth is, tell them about the story, tell them about what's going on, tell them about this gift, and it's going to be on our website under Perfect Mate. And it'll be there tomorrow. We didn't get it all finished today. So just whoever's ordering it, let us know that you ordered it through Philip or Naomi, and we will give them part of the proceeds, or they can donate the proceeds back to us because we're going to use them for scholarships anyway. I think that's all that I had to share. The regular price is $187. But if you want to make a career of this, if you want to be a matchmaker, if you want to help people know who they are and the base of their foundation, this is just an incredibly nice way to do it. And it's a new program, and it has 7 little steps to it. You can look at the tutorials here. Here, download it. Download the note correlate chart. Watch the video. Punch the buttons. It's all right here. And you can also, we have a new compatibility tiny nano manual or tiny manual. And you can write to us and ask for that. Richard, I know we've run over, but thank you for volunteering and being a guinea pig. I think the audience knows you pretty well just by the many times that you volunteered.
Yeah, yeah. It always makes me laugh. Yeah.
Richard at one time said, I just think I've been turned inside out by what's going on with these computer programs.
Well, as they say also, that if people were listening to the show only, and they didn't know the software, and they didn't know who you were, they would think you were like the world's most amazing psychic. Because, and that's the part that really always makes me laugh is, you know, watching, because I'm watching at WebEx, even though I'm running the dashboard over at Blog Talk Radio, I'm watching the WebEx, and seeing you're reading the words on the report. It's not like you're, I mean, some of it is your own experience of a bazillion years. And or it's really, you know, the reports are being printed out. You could print these reports for people and blow their minds, I tell you.
And people, you know, people have, they take them to expos and they charge $20 a report, and they're happy because they made $1,000 for the day, and people are happy because they know more about themselves. There is so much wonderful information in the chat. So when we end the show, I'll leave enough time at the end for people to go ahead and grab that.
Well, that was fun. And Marcy, you were very brave. That was good. It's hard to be that brave on air for the first time. That was very good.
And Madeline says, I think that relationships are the hardest thing we have to learn, being respectful and not demeaning and on and on and on. And
yeah.
That's why we've created the program, so that you know where you're coming from and you know what you're going to. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you Sunday talking to somebody that I can't think of right now. I almost had it. I almost pulled it up, but I can't think of it now.
And
it'll
I can't
great.
Either.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody have a great rest of the week. Enjoy your weather wherever you are. And it certainly is topsy-turvy.
And jump in
have a great week.
And
go
jump
ahead.
In
yeah,
and
jump
tell,
in
your
it.
Friends, tell your friends
yeah.
about the program and how great it is.
Yep. Yeah. You can find
Later.
These shows. You can find the audio show over at, it'll be on the front page of the Sound Health Options, and then you go to Blog Talk Radio, and it'll be down there in the lower right in the player, probably in about 15 minutes. And people can also find us on Stitcher and Pocket Casts and iTunes. You can just search for Sherry Edwards, and you'll find all the shows there. And tell your friends. Blow their minds. And have a great rest of the week. Bye-bye.